Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Steamroll into the final hour of our broadcast week. Glad you're with us. Comes from the Carter Subaru Studio. Ah, man, got a text message before I get to our very special guest. Did you see this text message we got, Nicole, last hour?
I'm looking
from
at
the 480. Another accidental listener. You know, the vast majority of our audience are people who they or their spouse accidentally left the radio on, and then they were too stupid to turn it off, and they accidentally hear our show. This is from the 480 area code, wherever that is. Okay, again, I was listening to all the wonderful morning people, and I went to work and came out, and the radio was still on. What do I hear? Dory Monson saying that the January 6th insurrection was not an embarrassment to our country and that it was not a big deal. That's not exactly what I said. But anyway. Wow. This it. Spelling as read. Wow. This it. I'm done with your station. I will miss Dave, G, Ursula, John, Sherry, Heather, Colleen, and Hannah Scott. Wow, do I love your station. But enough is enough. Hey, thanks for accidentally listening. Appreciate it. Hope you have a meter. But that gives me a chance to personally apologize.
Now he's a cop in all the land. Let Paul give that
yeah, thanks.
He's the best of all the options.
Since I've personally...
There goes a listener. There goes another accidental listener.
Since I've literally destroyed his ratings, John Curley joins us here on the Dory Monson.
Thanks a lot, Dory. Well, driving another listener away. I was making guacamole with my magic bullet, and I accidentally turned on the radio instead of making guacamole. Yeah. And I accidentally turned on the radio instead of turning on my magic bullet, and I heard your show, and I am literally disgusted by you.
As well you should be. Oh man!
By the way, Fog Hat, tickets still available, Fog Hat, November 11th. They're playing Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. Best seats are $35. There you go.
You know what? Still going. Want to hear something odd? My youngest daughter's boyfriend, for my birthday, gave me the brand new biography of Jim Thorpe, written by David Marinus, the great biographer, who's of course been on our show many times. Then I get this book just a couple weeks ago, and here you are mentioning Jim Thorpe on the show. That's the cosmic tumblers of the universe all falling into place.
It's an accident, just like that guy happening to be listening to your show. Sometimes all things do just sort of all work in concert like that.
Can we talk about the story you were telling me this morning about your cop friend?
Or Dave Hockett,
not ready
Sergeant
to
Hockett.
Discuss that yet?
No. We can. I talked to his attorney today, and I talked to Dave. So about 5 or 6 years ago, Dave Hockett, working there in the West Precinct, is downstairs, and they're in that old garage, and he notices the back of his throat is kind of scratchy, and he's getting headaches. All the cops are told to do their paperwork down there. They don't want to do it in the street. There's, of course, that horrible evening. I think it was around Halloween or something. Guy walks up and shoots the one cop who was doing work in the car. Yeah. Had that young female officer. She had just, I think, 2 weeks in service or something. So they just said, you know what? You're safe. Do it downstairs. Nobody can get down there. You won't be distracted rather than coming upstairs to the office. So these cop cars down there, they've got a lot of electronics in it. So they have an automatic ignition that turns on every 20 minutes or 40 minutes and runs for a little while to recharge the batteries. So Dave's down there. He notices it's uncomfortable. There's a lot of smoke. He goes upstairs and says something to management, and they don't do anything. The cops up there, they don't do anything for it. So then he goes and buys a carbon monoxide detector, and he starts keeping track, and he has personal records of it. He buys the best one he can afford, and he goes back up. He goes, guys, these are the readings I'm getting, and from what I understand, that this is, you know, this is very unhealthy. Yeah, whatever. They never fixed it. So then when he would apply for different jobs, he wants to move over to, you know, to perhaps horses, or maybe wants to be out on boats or something. They stop him at every limb. They don't move him forward. So he starts to realize, I think there's some retaliation going on here. He finds out that, yeah, the one guy goes, yeah, you're nothing but trouble. You're, you know, you've got problems. We don't want to promote you. You're the troublemaker. Why don't you keep your head down for a little while? And he realizes there's retaliation against me. So he brings the case forward. He goes to trial. They just ruled $1.3 million or $1 million to Dave. The attorneys on the city side, you had Gates and Ellis, the big ones. They had like 7 or 8 attorneys in there. And they were unable to convince the jury that there wasn't retaliation once they got the discovery. So here's what they're looking to do now.
Let me ask you one question.
Dave's attorney.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but actually I do mean to, because otherwise I wouldn't. But
yeah, that's fine.
The $1 million that your buddy got, was it for the health problems of breathing so much of this, you know, garage air, or was it specifically punitive damages for retaliation against him for blowing the whistle on what was going on in the garage?
I think there was some retaliation in there. I don't know how to separate the two out, but they did recognize some health damage, and that leads me to the next point, which is they are going to ask any police officer that served in the East or West Precinct in the last 20 years that if you think you have some health issues because you were breathing all that bad carbon monoxide down there, you should get in touch with an attorney and talk to them about it. They're putting together a class action lawsuit against the city of Seattle.
Really?
Because here's the crazy thing. They never fixed it. In fact, they put a foosball table and a ping pong table down there. I mean, and the cops are like, what, are they kidding us? The air is bad. They know the air is bad. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with it. They didn't want to fix it, because if they fix it, then they'd have to admit they're wrong. Now they have to fix it. It's an old building. The HVAC system can't possibly get all that stuff out of there. And the cops sit down there breathing all this carbon monoxide. So looking for a class action lawsuit in order to go after the city.
What's amazing is that, I mean, as bureaucratic and as formulaic as government tries and tends to be, that somebody brings up a legitimate health concern and they not only ignore the health aspect of it, but punish the person for bringing it up. Because, you know, especially in law enforcement, if you have bosses, you know, I mentioned a few days ago, I was listening to a sermon on betrayal. And if you have bosses who betray you, how in the world is somebody expected to perform well? And, you know, we've already lost 500 cops, and now we find out that some of the cops on the job, that their legitimate health concerns are being ignored by brass. Right. That's amazing.
And then blocking. Then the thing is, he knew that he was probably the best candidate for a couple of different jobs. He went and got his certification as a paramedic or an EMT, as advanced as he could possibly get there, just so he could be even more promotable. And they blocked him. And they blocked him because they thought he was, you know, he was, you know, causing trouble. And they had the evidence. Because the other crazy thing is, they got the emails between the upper ranks guy saying, yeah, not this guy.
I mean,
come on.
It's
and when they had discovery, they showed it all. It is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
it just shows you how impervious
this,
the people are. Plus, the other thing, here's the weird thing, Dory. What will be the repercussions? So the cities, I told Nicole about this story. She goes, oh, is it a class action lawsuit? I said, yeah. He goes, it's just going to cost the taxpayers more. I said, yes, it will. And the problem being, as Nicole pointed out, no one is ever held accountable. So the city might write out a bunch of checks. You know, they're out, the checks come flying up, but no one ever gets fired. Nobody ever loses their job. Nobody gets demoted. You just keep writing the checks because they're coming from the taxpayers' pockets.
Well, I was talking about that a couple of days ago because I had Mark Lindquist on, who's filed the, you know, first Chaz Chop lawsuit on behalf of a mom whose 19-year-old son was murdered at Chaz. And she's coming after the city. She's undoubtedly going to get millions and millions and millions of dollars because Jenny Durkin's calling it the Summer of Love. She was, you know, almost encouraging people to come down there and walk into a place where warlords weren't allowing medics to get in because they were keeping the police out. And protocol was medics can't go in without police escort. And am I happy the taxpayers have to pay for that? I'd much rather if Jenny Durkin and the other people who, you know, Jenny Durkin and her partner are worth like $250 million. I'd much rather if Jenny Durkin was held responsible for that than the taxpayers, but that's not the way the system works.
Right. And it does hurt knowing that we end up paying those bills. And on the other side, we'll pay it, but the person who caused the problem in the first place should be gone or penalized in some way. Exactly. And the other story I wanted to bring you is Kappa Gamma Sorority. Kappa Kappa Gamma Sorority, University of Wyoming, has accepted their first man into the sororities. Because the man says he's a woman.
Oh,
yeah. Well, it's a man saying he's a woman.
Okay.
He's a heavy set fellow with a beard.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really? No.
Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Times are a changing, John. That's whatever. This world ain't for no old dinosaurs like you and me.
No, by the way, today is International Pronoun Day.
I'm aware of that as well. Hey, on an entirely different note, did you hear the big press conference our governor had this morning?
Yeah.
Jay Inslee was at Western Washington University with a lot of Democrat lawmakers, and he has introduced a proposal.
There are storm clouds on our horizon in the state of Washington because there are those who would like to threaten the right of a woman to exercise her right of choice in the state of Washington. We are here on the campus of Western Washington University to say this very strongly. Washington State was a pro-choice state. Washington State is a pro-choice state, and we intend to make it a constitutional amendment so that Washington State will always be a pro-choice state.
Yeah! Because once it's in the Constitution, it can never be touched.
Ironclad, never touched again.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't our state
Except capital gains.
Well, no, not just capital gains, which it's an income tax is what it is. They're playing a game. Right. They're calling it cap. The IRS has already said that's an income tax. A court has already said that's an income tax. And Jay Inslee doesn't mind messing with the Constitution on that. And then also, I believe that the state of Washington has the strongest gun rights codified in our state constitution of any state in the country, much stronger than the U.S. Constitution. And they're always going after that. So how is it that Jay Inslee thinks that abortion needs to be in the Constitution so it can never be touched, but he can attack income tax and gun rights every single year that are codified in the Constitution? How can that be, John?
Dory, I can't believe you even fell for this. Do you realize by you talking about this, you're doing exactly what they want? They want you to be talking about abortion. You know abortion is not an issue in the state of Washington. You know no way are they going to have any sort of federal rule writing abortion in. They will never pass that. This is just him fanning the flames to try to get people to vote. Don't forget to get out there and vote. They're going to take this away from you and take that away from you.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. You took the bait, Dory. Shame on you. Shame on you and your producer, whatever her name is.
We just had our 50th murder of the year in Seattle 2 evenings ago. Wonderful young man. We are on a record murder pace in this state. We have hundreds of people dying from fentanyl, thanks in large part to our sanctuary policy and Jay Inslee's World Economic Forum approach that the southern border should not exist in the United States of America. We've got 12.6% inflation in our state, higher than the rest of the nation. He doesn't talk about any of those things, John. I can't understand why the people are going for this.
By the way, let me ask you something. Where are you on the theory that I heard you putting out there yesterday that the governor possibly will mandate that the COVID vaccines will be required for kids going back to school?
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to do that in the next segment, but I'll do it now. So I had some people who's opinion I trust. And they said, you know why Jay Inslee kept his emergency powers until October 31st? Because he knew the CDC ruling was coming down yesterday recommending adding child vax, and that they thought Inslee might be so deep in the pocket of the pharmaceutical industry that he could, with his emergency powers, mandate a child school vax. Inslee's office was accidentally listening to our show yesterday. And Nicole, they communicated with you. But it turns out that even though Jay won't come on the show anymore, It seems like they're listening accidentally almost every day, aren't they, Nicole?
Well, either that or they listened because I reached out and said we were wondering. I don't know.
But they said, no, that Governor Inslee is not going to order a vax mandate for children to go to public school. So that's off the table.
I'm told that it's, quote, demonstrably false.
Okay. So I was going to break that next segment, John, but you've just made me scoop myself with that question.
That's good. I'll add one more thing. Thank you very much for your encouragement last week when I was talking about the new rule in Seattle for the Seattle police pulling over somebody with a DUI. I called a local MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, didn't get much response. So then I got in touch with the national organization. They're coming on our show, I think, on Tuesday.
Oh, fantastic. I want to hear what they have to say about this.
Yes.
That's good. Okay, and then finally, since Nicole's on with us, the only person who's missing is Brandi Cruz right now, but we're all having a little thing tomorrow, right?
We're all attending a thing tomorrow.
We're not having
a little thing tomorrow.
No. Let me rephrase that.
Wow, what did I sign up for?
HR!
It's an organization called Stronger Families. Dory's coming out of his hermit hole and will be there on Saturday. Last year, I tried desperately to get Nicole a date with a fireman or a policeman.
But the whole idea is that they're established Cruz. Families.
There's always one guy that's got a brother-in-law. And then I pointed out Brandi Cruz being a hero, and everyone gave her a standing ovation, and she's like, oh, my God.
Mortified. She was mortified.
So it'll be great. We'll have you tomorrow. You'll be right down front, and bring your money to support Stronger Families. Yes.
I'd like to sit there in relative anonymity. No shenanigans from you, okay? I don't want any shenanigans. Is that an unfair request? Nothing.
Would it kill our program director to play a little shenanigans on Dory tomorrow? We'll be videotaping the whole thing. We'll have sound for you on Monday, Dory. Don't worry. You're going to have fun. You're going to have a great time. It's a fabulous organization. Lots of great items. In fact, come up here to Cleellum. It sold last year for $12,000. Stay in my cabin, even without indoor plumbing, and it sold for $12,000. So that gives you some idea.
Have a little thing while you're there.
And you have to wear a tie. Sorry.
Now he's a cop in all the land. Let's all give that.
That's right. He's the best of all. If you're accidentally listening to the radio, accidentally listen to the Dory Monson Show from 12 to 3 right here on Cairo Radio.
Make that into a promo, Andrew. All right, John, every afternoon, 3 to 7 here on the Big Station.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, we're going to check the news for you. And
bye-bye.
Then I'll have to come up with something else since John just ruined my plan next segment. That is next here on the Dory Monson Show. Count. We only got a half hour left this week.
Let's
do it. My top story today, if you have not heard about this, I want to make sure you know, because it is quite simply one of the most bizarre court rulings I have ever seen in my entire life. And unsurprisingly, it is flying under the radar of most in the local media. But yesterday, the Washington State Supreme Court says that essentially, they said, any white person who appears in court is going to be presumed to be racist until they prove that they are not. This is so un-American. It is so radical leftist. But it was the story of a little fender bender where a woman named Janelle Henderson, her car was rear-ended by another woman. Now, Janelle Henderson is black. The Alicia Thompson, who rear-ended her vehicle, is white. Henderson said that the fender bender exacerbated her Tourette's syndrome, and she wanted $3.5 million. The insurance company for Alicia Thompson said, well, we'll pay you for the damage to your car, but we're not going to give you $3.5 million. Well, in the court, it ends up going to court because the Henderson woman wanted the millions of dollars. And in the course of that court case, at one point, the attorneys for the defense called Alicia Henderson combative and confrontational. And the Washington State Supreme Court yesterday said, well, those words, combative and confrontational, are code for angry black woman. And so we're going to presume that you meant something racial when you called her combative and confrontational. You meant to have, that was a trope to just suggest that she's an angry black woman, which is odd because I've been called confrontational and combative, and I've never presumed that that means people were calling me an angry black woman. But that's what the Washington State Supreme Court says now. They also said in the closing arguments, the defense attorney said, well, Alicia Henderson's trying to acquire an unearned financial windfall. Well, according to the Washington State Supreme Court yesterday, that was like saying that she's a black woman trying to scam the system. So race was never mentioned. But now what they say is in every civil case in our state going forward, that anybody can hire an unconscious bias expert to sit in. And if that unconscious bias expert says, yeah, confrontational really means angry black, then you can prevail on a racism claim. And there are going to be, you know, there's this industry of unconscious bias training. And of course, there are going to be these hired guns who will go to court and they'll say whatever the people who pay them want them to say. And if that is yes, unearned financial windfall means black person trying to get something they don't deserve, even though those words are never spoken. I mean, this is really, if not the most, it certainly is one of the most shocking court decisions. And that's why I'm not surprised that most in the media aren't even covering it. Seattle Times has a story about it, but I haven't seen anything on any of the local TV news sites or anything. We will have my coverage of this up on my Northwest. But understand what this means. If there are, and if you want to hear more details about this, go listen to our noon hour podcast, because I talked to an attorney about the interpretation of this as well. And he confirmed my interpretation as well. If there were two trials, one has a black plaintiff and one has a white plaintiff. And if those two trials, the transcript, every word that everybody spoke, if it was identical, the one with the black plaintiff could say racism, and the one with the white plaintiff could not. And so what this court ruling says is whoever wins, whether they're the plaintiff or the defendant, whoever wins, if the losing side is a person of color, the prevailing party will have to prove that they are not racist. In the United States of America, there is a presumption of racism now in the state of Washington. This is unheard of. There's also two systems of justice where the exact words spoken in two trials, exact same words, could yield different results because of the skin color of the losing party, plaintiff or defendant. It's unbelievable. If you want more details on this, go listen to our podcast, and we will have a story up on mynorthwest.com. And then one other story that even flew under my radar that thankfully Nicole uncovered. Remember the case of the bikini baristas up in Everett? And the city of Everett said, we're going to have a dress code for the bikini baristas. I covered this story extensively, and I talked to a couple of the hillbilly hotties on my show. That was the name of the business, not my name for them. I don't talk like that. But they said, yeah, this is how we make a living. And they don't have any dress code for men. So how can there be a dress code just for women? Well, this week, U.S. District Court Judge Ricardo Martinez ruled that Everett's ordinance banning scanty clothing in drive-through coffee stands violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. They said the Everett's ordinance unfairly targeted the clothing of women and not men. And so the hillbilly hotties can once again dress scantily in Everett. I will say that this ruling completely unaffects me because I don't drink coffee. Okay, quick time out here, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Awesome Audio is coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Thank you again for all the exclusives you provide us, all the information, all the tips. We like to bring you news that you don't get anyplace else, and you're the main reason that I get that news. All right, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
I think the audio that both Nicole and I enjoyed the most was this big CNN blockbuster expose, Nicole. On, they got some tapes that Bob right. Woodward recorded with Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh. How could anybody like Trump after this? So here's their big blockbuster where, well, just listen for yourself.
CNN has obtained a copy, and what you'll hear tonight is striking. It speaks to who he was as president, who he is as a person, and how completely intertwined the personal and presidential were for him and probably still are. Something that's not just apparent in what he says, but even more so in how he says it. Something the printed word just can't fully convey. CNN special correspondent Jamie Gangel has a CNN exclusive on this tonight. Oh, she joins us now with some
of the audio. I can't wait
to
hear the personal, the professional, how he does it. Oh, my God. What do you got, CNN?
What stands out to you the most?
Well, I think, as you said, it's hearing Trump say these words, and you're in the room with Bob Woodward. It is Trump unvarnished, blunt, profane. It will not surprise you that he attacks people he doesn't like.
What?
And he boasts about himself over and over and over. But what's also revealing, Anderson,
get to the tape, sister.
Trump seems to need to try to impress Bob Woodward, including at times telling him about classified information.
I have built a weapons system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff that you haven't even seen or heard about. We have stuff that Putin and Xi have never heard about before. Getting along with...
Okay, that's part of the plot. That we have advanced military equipment that the Russians and the Chinese don't know about. That is shocking that he would say that.
Getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing, all right? Especially because they have 1,332 nuclear... warheads.
It's funny
that's where they said he was profane. Oh, he used the F word. Oh my God! Has any president ever said the F word before? No, according to CNN.
The relationships I have, the tougher and meaner they are, the better I get along with them. You'll explain that to me someday, okay? But maybe it's not a bad thing. The easy ones are the ones that maybe don't like as much or don't get along with as much.
He says it's a good thing that he has a good relationship with Putin because they both have nukes. Nicole, have you ever heard anything so shocking in your entire life?
It's pretty shocking.
Didn't Joe Biden just last week say you don't bleep with the Bidens?
Well, yes. He
didn't Barack Obama say never underestimate the ability of Joe Biden to bleep things up?
Yes.
Huh. Maybe there have been presidents who have said the F word before. It was so stupid. It was one of the stupidest exclusives in TV news history, and that's saying a lot. Let's see. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she had a town hall, but oh man, she got ethnic.
I'm not allowed to be in a room with the lights turn off. It gets a little. That's what I'm thinking. All right, listen.
And Nicole made this connection that the 3-year-old boy who really likes cupcakes.
Oh, cupcakes.
Listen.
They're exactly the same. AOC is identical to a 3-year-old boy who wants cupcakes.
All right, listen.
Can you tell them apart? That's AOC.
Listen.
That's the best. All right. Then finally, I got so many good ones here. Meghan Markle, very upset that she was sexed up to be a briefcase girl on Deal or No Deal.
I had income. I was part of the union. I had health insurance. It was great. And yet, I had also studied international relations in college. And there were times when I was on set at Deal or No Deal and thinking back to my time working as an intern at the U.S. Embassy in Argentina in Buenos Aires. And being in the motorcade with the Secretary of Treasury at the time and being valued specifically for my brain.
And then she goes on Deal or No Deal. But she auditioned for the role, and the role was to look hot. Stand there and look hot. And that she chose to audition for that, and now she's complaining because they gave her the part. And then turns out after she complained about that, some more video came out of Meghan Markle. She applied for a role on Beverly Hills 90210 where she was performing a sex act on a guy in a car. So maybe she objectified herself. I got to get out of here. What a great week. Thank you for hanging out with us all week. I love you. The John Carley and Sherry Elliker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I'll see you back here Monday. High noon.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.